Otherwise, the people who, there's just no way you could have faith to receive that gift from God unless that gift from God was available to everybody. Am I making sense? And this, again, is so important for you to understand. It's not just for a select few, it's for everybody. This gift from God, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, is, now listen, for every believer. That means the only prerequisite to being filled with the Spirit, the only prerequisite to being filled with the Spirit is you must be born again. Did you hear that? That's it. You must be born again. Then you qualify to receive this gift from God. Now listen to this. I heard it said this way years ago, and I wrote it in my Bible. Listen to this. You can write this down if you're taking notes. The new birth is God's introduction of His life and nature to the sinner. Did you hear that? But the baptism in the Holy Spirit is God's introduction of His supernatural power to His children. Did you hear that? I'll say it again. The new birth is God's introduction of His life and nature to the sinner, but the baptism in the Holy Spirit is God's introduction of His supernatural power to His children. Amen. I want you to stop. I've been studying and reading and stuff to prepare myself to preach and teach and everything else. And I read this, and it just leapt off the pages when I read it. When you're filled with the Spirit, we're talking about being filled with a part of our triune, am I saying that right? Our three-part God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We are filled with the Holy Spirit, God. We are filled with God, and we are filled with all that He is. See, God doesn't just come and say, we don't just get filled with God, and it's just a part of God. It's God. It is who God is, including all of His power. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. God's power comes upon you. Oh, glory to God. I could run with that. Thank you, Jesus. So friends, this baptism of the Holy Spirit, this being filled with the Spirit, is God's will for every Christian. Look at verse 18 again now. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking. Everybody say speaking. How do we stay filled? How do we drink of the Spirit? Keep saying it. How do we get filled? By speaking other tongues as the Spirit gives utterance. And once again here in verse 19, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord. Now I want us to notice the next couple of verses because they're still talking about being filled with the Spirit. Verse 20, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Does that involve speaking? Giving thanks to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ? Absolutely it does. I believe giving thanks to God for all that He is and for all that He's done and all He's going to do is something that we as Christians need to be doing more consistently. Are you hearing me? We need to be doing it more consistently. And I believe that when we are doing that, not only... hallelujah. It seems like from our mentality, when we're giving thanks to God, it's going up to Him. And it's all about going up to Him. But we don't understand that when we're doing that, it's not just going to Him. Something's happening on the inside of us. Something's going on the inside of us. I believe a stirring is going on when we're giving thanks to God. How do I know that? Because it talks about being filled here. It being filled with the Spirit. This is part of that process. How many think you could go around giving thanks to God all throughout the day? I mean, could you not give thanks for the many things God has done for you in your life? Can you not give thanks for your spouse, for your children, for life itself? Can you not give thanks to God for Jesus? Can you not give thanks to God for His blood? Can you not give thanks to God for the Holy Spirit, for the Word of God, and all of the glory to God? You can give thanks to God for so many different things. But I want us, when you do it now, to always remind yourself, I'm not just taking this to God. I believe when I'm giving thanks to Him, something's going on the inside of me. A stirring's going on the inside of me. I'm being filled with the Spirit. How hard is that? It's not hard to do that, is it? We need to be doing that on a more consistent basis. Thank you, Jesus. Now, before we get to verse 21, I want to share with you something else about being filled with the Spirit. Now, I already know how you're going to answer this, but I want to ask it anyway. How do we get filled with the Holy Spirit? As we've seen, part of the process is speaking. Speaking with other tongues, speaking in psalms and hymns and spiritual thanks, giving thanks to God the Father. But if there was a way to sum it all up, being filled with the Spirit, now hear me now, is learning to yield to the Spirit. Learning to yield to the Spirit of God and continuing to yield to Him throughout your life. Every day, yielding to the Spirit of God. Amen. And whatever He's leading you or prompting you to do. The word yield, now I want you to hear this. The word yield means to give into, to submit to give way to no longer resist. Do you know that the Bible actually talks about not resisting the Spirit? Did you know that? Friends, I can tell you right now, if you're resisting the Spirit, you're not going to live a filled with the Spirit lifestyle. Amen. We cannot resist the Holy Spirit. Amen. So there's going to be times when the Holy Spirit will prompt you to pray in other tongues. What should you do? Pray in other tongues. There will be times when the Holy Spirit will prompt you to sing spiritual songs and hymns. Amen. What should you do? Sing those songs. Are you listening? There will be times when the Holy Spirit prompts you to give thanks to God. What should you do? Give thanks to God. Whatever the Holy Spirit prompts you to do, learn to yield to that. And when you're yielding to Him, you're being filled with Him. And I can tell you with complete honesty, the more you learn to yield to Him, the easier it becomes to yield to Him. And pretty soon you're going to find yourself being led by Him throughout your life, and you're going to always be at the right place at the right time. Doesn't that just sound like the kind of life you want to live? Amen. Being at the right place at the right time. It's not going to happen unless you learn to be led by the Spirit. And you're not going to learn to be led by the Spirit unless you learn to yield to the Holy Spirit and His promptings. Amen. So with that understanding, now look at verse 21. Submitting to one another in the fear of God. The New Living Translation says, and further, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. I wanted to say that like that. I mean, read that other translation, because sometimes people, when they see the fear of God, they immediately think of fearing something like spiders or snakes or something along those lines. We were watching this one show, and they're in, I don't even remember where they're at. I think in Africa somewhere. But anyway, they showed a spider. I don't like spiders. I don't even like spiders at all. Not even a little bit. And I'm telling you, it was yellow and it was black and it was the scariest looking spider I've ever seen in my life. And I'm like going, there's no way I would ever go through a jungle with that kind of junk all over the place. Not going to do it. And so then Riley gets the bright idea. Oh, Let me tell you about camel spiders. I go, I don't want to hear about camel spiders. And she said, my dad talks about how they chase you. Spiders chase you. Now get this. Well, you know, for a lot of times when you're thinking of a spider, you're thinking about this size. These things grow to be 12 stanking inches long. I'm telling you, I'm just going to let you know a little secret here. If a 12-inch spider is chasing me, this big boy is going to be running faster than you've ever seen this big boy run. Or I'm almost going to turn around and go, ah, squish. I know I probably would, but I'm just going to keep it real. Now, why would I get off on spiders for? Honey, why am I off on spiders? All right, yeah, that's not the kind of fear we're talking about here. And we shouldn't be fearing anyway. The Bible says, do not fear. Everybody say, I will not fear. Everybody say, God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. I fear nothing. Ha, ha, ha. Glory to God. I tell you what, it's a process. I used to really deal with heights. My wife and I on our honeymoon went to Glacier National Park. You ever been to Glacier? And if you go up to Glacier, there's some high mountains up there. I mean, every way up there. And when you're driving, that's called going to the Sun Highway. And you're driving along going to the Sun Highway. How, why? And there's a sheer drop off. I mean, and I'm like going. And literally, they say every day people get so scared that they have to go pick them up every day. Drive, because they just freak out. They can't drive their cars any longer. And so I'm dealing with it. I'm like going, this isn't good. This isn't right. I don't need to be like this. But we got up and we got on a trail and we came to the edge. And I made myself go up to the edge. And I'm speaking to myself the whole way. I will not fear. I will not fear. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid. Did you know you can feel afraid and not be afraid? That's huge. Fear, what it wants is wants to grab you, get inside of you. It gets on the inside of you. That's not a good thing. So anyway, I got up to the edge of this mountain and I sat down. Boom! And then the next time, now this is the truth. The next time we were going the Sun Highway, someone else was driving, but I'm leaning out the window and looking down. Is that possible for you to overcome your fears? Absolutely. Do not fear. See, what's going to happen is, I don't know why I'm off on this, but I am. You need to hear this. The devil wants to get you over into fear. It's something that God wants us to avoid with everything in us, because fear is of the enemy. Fear will attract to you the things you don't want in your life. That's why we as Christians need to remain in faith. And that's when you feel afraid, even if you're I'll share this one about fear, because it's kind of funny. I've shared it. Some of you have already heard this one before. But I was in Canaan Land Ministries, and I'm on fire for Jesus. God's doing incredible things, and Canaan Land is out in the middle of the boonies. I mean, there's nothing around. And so we're out there, and we had gone. It was Halloween, and we had a hallelujah party. And we all went in this bus, Canaan Land bus, and we all went up there. We had a good time, and we're driving back, and it's late at night. And as we're driving, all of a sudden in my mind, these thoughts started to come. This is the night when devil worshipers come out, and witches and warlocks come out, and try to bring harm and all of that stuff. Why was I even? It's the devil was trying to get to me, and I'm like, I rebuked that. And I went to bed. And when I got up and I had to go to the restroom. And while I'm going to the restroom, all of a sudden I see lights driving by. And this is like 3 or 4 in the morning. There's nobody ever out there. We're talking literally, it's the boonies. There's nothing else around. And I'm seeing lights. And I'm like going, oh my goodness. Of course, those thoughts come back. What in the world is happening? So I go back to my bed, and we each had rooms. Some of us, most of the time you had a roommate, but this time I didn't have a roommate. And all of a sudden I heard this, oh my goodness. And I'm laying in my bed, and it freaks me out. I'm like, oh my, you know, I didn't say it out loud, but I'm like, and I'm serious. I can't move. I am, that fear has gripped me. I'm like, oh my, you know, and so then I can't move. I can't do anything. And all of a sudden I start going, I could barely whisper the name of Jesus. And finally, in my heart, it was like, it rose up in my heart, that's just Bull over there next door snoring. The guy across the hallway was snoring so loudly, I'm hearing him snore, but the devil had fed me all of those stupid thoughts that now it had gripped me in fear. I can just see God the Father sitting up there at that time, just elbowing Jesus. Look at him. Look at him down there. But that's the way fear is. Fear always wants you to believe something that's contrary to God's word. Fear wants you to believe that the devil's stronger than God. I'm going to tell you a little secret here. They're not even on the same playing field. God is higher than the stars. The devil is lower than this earth. God is greater than anything of the enemy. Thus, as God's children, we must not ever fear. I don't know why I'm off on this, but this is by the Spirit. I know you may have heard me teach along these lines before, but if you deal with fear, stop it and get it out of your life. And let me say this again. It's a process. Don't think it's, but the more you yield to God and the Spirit of God in you, the more the easier it becomes to resist it the next time. Parents, do not worry about your children. That is yielding to fear. Worry is a form of fear. Do not worry about your children. And I'm going to tell you a little secret here. That is not always easy to do either. When your children are going off to do something and all of a sudden the thoughts start to bombard your head, they're going to get hurt. They're going to get injured. This is going to happen to them. Blah, 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 blah. I'm going to tell you what I do when that happened. I would immediately say no. That is not happening. I cover them in the blood of Jesus. I surround them with my faith and love. I give the angels of God charge over them, and they shall be kept. God, I trust you to keep my children, because my children, Brooke, James, and Riley, Matt, Dan, and Adam, are all fulfilling their destinies. Their lives will not be cut short. They will not be, they have destiny to fulfill. Amen. Do not fear anything. Boy, I'm off on this now, aren't I? My. Submission. Submitting to one another in the fear of God. Let me say this about submission. Submission, and I want you to hear this, is not easy. Sometimes people have the tendency to say, well, I have no problem with submitting to them. It's easy for me to do that. Well, they're not really submitting. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Hear this. Submission only begins when agreement ends. Submission only begins when agreement ends. In other words, we can only submit to one another when we're in a disagreement with one another. Isn't that something? Now, obviously, I'm not talking about submitting to someone and doing something that's contrary to the word of God or becoming a doormat for somebody. But when you are, for example, working for someone, I'll just use myself as an example here. I used to work for Pastor Jim and over in Missoula Bible Church. I was the youth minister over there. And my wife can attest to this. I was a planner. I would plan things to a T. I would go through a process of figuring out the costs. I was figuring out the chaperones. I was figuring out the vehicles we were going to take. I was going to figure out how much, you know, where we were going and when we were going to be there and all of this stuff. And I can remember having done that, and I went into the pastor's office, and I was all excited to share with him, glory to God, I got these plans for the youth. We're going to go do this, this, and this. This is how much it's going to cost. This is how we're going to promote him, and so forth and so on. And he looked at me and said, I was waiting for him to go, yeah, glory to God, yeah, go do it. Go get it for Jesus. And he looked at me and said, no, we're not going to do that. Okay. All of that planning. And what I get is, no, we're not going to do that. I now had a choice. I could get angry and upset and storm out of the office and miss God, or I could submit. I was not in agreement with my pastor, but that was his decision to make. And he said, no, we're not going to do it right now. I had to submit to that. And the Bible actually talks about us submitting to our bosses. Even those the Bible calls froward. That means harsh bosses, cruel bosses. I remember again in my life when I worked over in Missoula at Eagle Satellite, and I sold satellite systems, and we would always come in and have a sales meeting, and we had, the owner of the business name was Pat, and Pat, one day, was raking, I'm not saying it was just me and him, it was all of the staff, and we're sitting in there, and he is raking me over the coals, and I want you to know, you know, have you ever seen those cartoons where it just starts to boil up and it gets redder and redder and redder, and then all of a sudden, that's what I felt like. I'm fixing to just go to town on this man. And all of a sudden, the reason I had the job was because the manager, the sales manager, went to our church. And all of a sudden, he nudges me. I don't want what you want. And he hands me a piece of paper, and I open up the piece of paper, and it's the scripture. I had to submit to that froward boss. Have you ever had a boss that you haven't liked before? You know what most people do when they don't have a boss? When they have a boss they don't like? I'm leaving you. That's not the way we're supposed to do. Christians are not supposed to act that way. And again, I'm not telling you you're supposed to become a doormat. What I'm saying is you're called to submit. If God called you to that job, God wants you at that job, because you could be the only Jesus that boss is ever going to know. But if all of a sudden you get your feathers ruffled and you get angry and you storm out of there and say, jerk, I quit. What is that going to do for Jesus? How is that going to testify about God's goodness and God's love? You've got to be willing to submit to your boss. The Bible also says that wives are to submit to their husbands. Now, that's a lot of times people are like, that's one of the big things that, the women's movement came out, and that was a big issue. Women, wives submit to their husbands. You know what? The Bible also says that very same place. Husbands are to love their wives, even as Christ loves the church. What did Christ do for the church? He laid down his life for it. We have to be willing to lay down our lives for our wives. And I can honestly say this woman here practices this. It's not always easy to submit to me, is it? Is it, woman? Yeah, but the thing is, again, we've got to do what God's telling us to do in His Word. Amen. The Bible says we are to submit to those over us, to an authority, governing authorities. We're called to submit to them. Hallelujah. And then here, the Bible tells us we're to submit to one another. The word submission means this. Listen, it means, where did I get, did I write it down? It means to, come on now. I guess I didn't write it down, but that's okay. It means to come under the mission of someone else. It means to yield or prefer them, yield to or prefer them over yourself. Did you hear that? The love of God is not concerned about what others are going to do for you. The love of God is concerned about what can I do for you. Does that make sense? I'm not going to get so caught up in saying, I love you if you do this for me. No, the love of God says, I'm going to love you no matter what. And submission, again, only begins when agreement ends. So if we are to prefer one another, to submit to one another, how many know if it's this, as difficult as I say that it is, and it is, how can we possibly do that? God's grace is sufficient for all of us, for every single one of us to do this. If God asks us to do it, then He gives us the grace to do it. He gives us that divine enablement to do something that would be very difficult for us to do. But you've got to be willing to do it because God told you to do it. And when we are submitting to one another in the fear of Christ, in the reverence, that word fear there doesn't mean being afraid. It means to reverence and to honor. When we are submitting to one another, we're bringing glory and honor to Jesus Christ. You're listening to me. And according to this, we're also being filled with the Spirit. Part of it, as I was saying, is yielding to the promptings of the Spirit. And when the Spirit of God is prompting you to submit to that person, you need to submit to that person. Everybody with me this morning? Amen. Thank you, Jesus, for all that excitement in here right now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now, last week I made this statement. The way we drink of the Spirit, one of the primary ways we're filled with the Spirit is by our speaking. What did the first Christians to be filled with the Spirit do? They began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And what did we just read here in Ephesians 5? We are to be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in our heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, question. Whose responsibility is it for Christians to be filled with the Spirit? Whose? Is it God's? Or is it ours? So that means you can go through your life a quarter filled. You can go through your life a half filled. You can go through your life three quarters filled. Or you can go through your life filled to overflowing. It's up to you. It's your choice. To be filled with the Spirit. Now listen. I wrote this down, and this is something God's really been ministering to me about. Now, some people kind of wonder about being filled with the Spirit. How do I know I'm filled with the Spirit? How do I know the proportion of how much I'm filled with the Spirit? One of the ways, and this is the illustration, the way I've gotten it, the way I understand it best, is what you should do is you need to begin to drink of the Spirit. And you keep drinking of the Spirit. What do we say drinking is? And speaking these things out. Speaking in other tongues. Speaking in, you know, making melody in your heart. Giving thanks to God. And you're doing this. And you're drinking of the Spirit. And you're drinking of the Spirit. And you're drinking of the Spirit. And as you continue to drink of the Spirit, what happens is you begin to get filled up. Now, a lot of Christians stop. Right there. They stopped drinking because they had an incredible experience. They got filled with the Holy Ghost. They began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And that happened 5 years ago. And they stopped. And that's where they go through life. And that's how they face the challenges of life. With just a little bit of the Spirit of God in their lives. Is that God's fault? So what must we do? We must keep drinking. Everybody say drinking. Okay. Everybody say drinking. We have to keep drinking of the Holy Spirit. We need to keep drinking of the Holy Spirit. We need to keep yielding to the Holy Spirit. And we need to keep drinking of the Holy Spirit. And as we keep drinking of the Holy Spirit, what ends up happening? We get fuller and fuller and fuller and fuller. And fuller, and fuller, and pretty soon we begin to overflow. My wife is thinking, dear Jesus, what have we just done? But it is water, right? Karen, is that water? We hope so. Anyway, the point I'm trying to get at is, listen, I know this for the fact because I just experienced when I drove back and forth. When you take time and you're praying in the Holy Ghost and you're being filled with the Spirit, what happens is you'll get so full of Him that it just begins to flow out of you all the time. You're walking around the house and it's just you're just flowing. You're just speaking in other tongues. You're praying in the Spirit and you're going and you're so full of Him. And what has happened is you're now overflowing. You're now overflowing with the Spirit. Glory, is that possible for us to live our lives that way? To be so full of God. To be so full of God. That He's just pouring. The Bible says that our cup runneth over. God wants us to live like that. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So if you're wondering how full you are, then glory to God. Then just keep drinking. Just keep drinking. Everybody say, I'm going to keep drinking. Hallelujah. Keep drinking of the Spirit of God. Thank you, Jesus. So if it is up to us as to how filled with the Spirit we are, what is going to be the motivating factor? Get this. What is going to be the motivating factor for us to stay filled with the Spirit? Now, obviously, if you don't want to be filled, you're not going to be filled. God's not going to force it on you. I've already talked about that. But what is the one thing that is going to keep you living a lifestyle of being filled? And this is what I was talking to you about just a second ago. Something that God has really been getting in my heart. You know what the motivating factor is? Hunger. 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 Hunger for more of God. Oh, I hope you're listening. Do you really want more of God? Do you really want more of Him? Because if you do, if you're really hungering after Him with all your heart, then you're going to take the necessary steps to be filled with the Spirit. It's one thing to say, oh, I want more of God. I hunger. What are you doing? You can just look at your life and determine. If you're really hungry, you're going to do what's necessary to be filled with the Spirit. Amen. Listen, so many times people have the mindset, oh, if I have to do that, it's going to be so hard. It's going to be such a drudgery. No, it's not. The steps you need to take to be filled with the Spirit aren't hard. They're easy. And what happens is as you come to the realization, as you're taking those steps, you're getting more of God in your life. And when you get more of Him in your life, glory to God, it is a motivating force in your life to stay filled up. How many know that hunger is a motivating force? Have you ever been really, really hungry and gone shopping? I mean, if you've ever gone shopping and you're really, really hungry, what you come home with is a bunch of stuff you really didn't go to the store for in the first place. Have you ever gone to Costco and they have those little things, those little places where you can go try something? It's so funny because it's like your card is drawn to them. And sometimes you go up and they have something nasty. What's up with that? Go get some good food on there. But sometimes, oh man, I don't remember what part of the season. I think it's Super Bowl Sunday or something, you know, because they have tables and they're in squares. And they have all kinds of food all the way around. And the big boy, I take a tour around the table. And when I get back to where I started, if I really like some of it, I go around again. And I'm happy, 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 especially when I'm hungry. And then I come home with things I really didn't need because I was so hungry. Am I the only person who's ever done that before? Hallelujah. And have you ever gone to a restaurant and ordered more than you could eat? This little wonderful daughter-in-law of mine, usually on Fridays, we don't eat prior to the service. We eat afterwards. And our number one spot to go to is Taco Bell. We'll go to Taco Bell. And my son A young, strapping young man who is only 20 years old, lifting all the time now, growing bigger, and can eat like a horse. And he will go, and I'm not like, Dad, I'd like to have one of those. I like one of those. Can you throw on one of those? And so, you know, okay, hallelujah. And Joan, I'm not going to get anything. I'm going to go home and have salad. What's up with you, girl? Anyway, and then Riley, what do you want? I want one of those. I want one of those. I want. Girl, you're half the size of your husband, and you're ordering that much food? It's because she was so hungry. And I'm here to tell you, she ate the vast majority of it, didn't you? Yeah. But so is this, well, how, what's that statement? Your eyes are bigger than your belly? But see, hunger's a motivating force. Hunger's a motivating force. When you're really, really hungry, you want more. You want, and get this, listen to this. When you're truly hungry for more of God, you're going to press into Him with all your heart. You're going to give Him all that you have. You're going to, oh, glory to God. And I want to read these scriptures. You don't have to turn it, you can just look up here. Now, I want to say this too. When you're hungry for God and you're really hungry for God, you're not going to put God on the back burner in your life. He's going to be on the front burner. You're going to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And notice what the Bible says will happen when we're truly hungering for more of Him. James 4 verse 8 says, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. You're hungering after Him. You're drawing near to Him. The Bible says He's drawing near to you. Glory to God. The New Living says, come close to God, and God will come close to you. I love that. Oh, hallelujah. Then in Matthew 5, 6, the Bible says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. The Amplified says, blessed and fortunate and happy and spiritually prosperous in that state in which the born-again child of God enjoys His favor and salvation. Are those who who hunger and thirst for righteousness, uprightness and right standing with God. Now notice, for they shall be completely satisfied. Have you ever sat down and ate a meal and when you were done, you were completely satisfied? Oh, hallelujah. So we can see being hungry for God will not only motivate us to stay filled with the Spirit, it's going to greatly benefit our lives, isn't it? As we draw near to Him, He draws near to us. As we hunger after Him, we shall be filled. We shall be completely satisfied. What will we be completely satisfied with? With Him. Glory to God. That is such good news. Amen. Now, another thing that's so important. Listen. When you go to a restaurant, again, let's just use this analogy. This example, you go to a restaurant and you order something you've never ordered before, or you've never been to that restaurant, okay? And so you've heard about it, and you go and you order something, and it comes to your table, smells really good. How many are hungry right now? And I mean, it smells really, really good. And you take your fork, hopefully you pray first. You need to be bold about that. Pray in public. Let people know who you are. Amen. I mean, I'm not talking be silly, but pray in public. Do not be ashamed of who you are. You're a child of the Most High God. Okay, got off that one and get back on that wonderful food sitting before you. You take your fork and you slice into it and you put it in your mouth. Oh my goodness. It is so good. It tastes so good. Good. What do you do? You're going to finish your plate, more than likely, unless you're Riley. And then what's going to happen is once you have tasted of it and it's good and you've finished your plate, you can't wait to go out and tell others about it. Isn't that true? You are going to want to come back to that restaurant and have that item again. You're going to hunger after it because it tasted so good. Well, guess what the Bible says in closing here? Psalm 34, verse 8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in Him. Now listen to this from the Living Bible. Oh, put God to the test and see how kind he is. See for yourself the way his mercies shower down on all who trust in him. Boy, I like that. And then the Message Bible. Open your mouth and taste. Open your eyes and see how good God is. Blessed are you who run to him. Friends, once you've tasted of the Lord, oh, hallelujah, you can't wait to tell others about him. And when you find out how good he is, you're going to want more. And the thing about it is, that's when God will say, come on, I'm going to show you more. I'm going to give you more. I'm going to fill you with more. And you begin to experience God unlike any other thing. I mean, friends, I cannot begin to put this into, say this in normal language. But when you taste of God, when you experience God, when you get your fill of God, woo! It is so good. It's beyond human comprehension. It literally is. God wants us to be filled up with him. To be filled up with him. I want to say that again, and I hope everybody's listening. God wants you to be filled up with him. With him. God wants you to be filled with the Spirit. God wants you to hunger after him with everything that's in you. God wants you to taste and see that he is good. And when you taste and see that he is good, you're going to hunger for more of him unlike any other time in your life. And you're going to continue to press in. And you're going to continue to want more. And it's going to be an endless cycle from then on. Right up until the moment that shout goes off and we go to rise to meet him in the air. That's the way we're supposed to live. Have you ever had a God experience before? Well, you know it was God. You know that wasn't something my head made up. That was God. Those are the times in your life. You know, one of the things the man over there was bringing out and was talking about how the Old Testament people, when God did something really amazing, they always built an altar to put themselves in remembrance of what God did for them. When God does something for you in your life, you got to build an altar, but not outwardly, inwardly in your heart. And have that place of remembrance in your heart of what God has just done for you. See, that's part of the tasting and see. That's part of the process of becoming hungrier for God than you've ever been. And coming to the realization that what God did for you then, he'll do for you next time and the next time and the next time and the next time. But get this, it's not going to be at the same level. It's going to keep getting better and better and better and better and better. Taste and see that the Lord is good. I wrote these down. This is what the God. This is my new things I'm saying. Stay hungry. Stay motivated. And stay filled with the Spirit. Did you hear that? I would write that down in your Bible somewhere. Stay hungry. Stay motivated. Stay filled with the Spirit. If you stay hungry and you stay motivated, you will stay filled with the Spirit. And then you're in a prime position to be used by him and experience him. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you for the word today. It is my prayer that everybody in this room will begin to